to Spawn, the common sense and hopefully fun discussion on parenting and parenting culture. Hey, I'm Liz Gumpener.
And I'm Kristen Chase, and we are the co-founders of CoolMomPicks.com.
And on today's episode of Spawn, we're going to do something a little different. We had a last-minute guest change, and so Kristen and I thought, let's do Spawn After Dark. It's been a while since we've done that, and what that means is we have a little wine, we get a little loose, and we get a little random. And so we thought, in the spirit of randomness, we are going to go to conversationstarters.com and pick random questions and talk about them.
I'm so excited.
I am too.
And as always, we will close out our show with our cool picks of the week. So Liz,
yes.
Without further ado, I'm going to take a little sip of my very watered down drink of water.
Ooh, I was going to say, here's my first question. Although this isn't on conversationstarters.com.
Okay.
What wine are you drinking lately? Is there a particular wine you're liking?
I am drinking no wine lately, actually.
Yeah?
I haven't been drinking.
Is that a diet thing or like a wellness thing?
Well, you know, I lost 28 pounds or something using...
I know. You look amazing.
Thank you.
John, cue the applause SFX.
So I lost a bunch of pounds doing something called Bright Line Eating, and wine is, or any alcohol actually, is not on their eating plan. So I have not had alcohol for a very long time. Once I lost all the weight, I kind of added it back in every now and then. But I don't know about you, but I am so tired that if I have even a little bit of alcohol, all I do is fall asleep. My wine is just like tea. That's all I've been having.
Well, I lost 10 pounds doing South Beach Phase 1.
That's fantastic.
That's how much pasta was doing to my belly. Okay. I know, crazy.
Yeah.
Now I've gained a little back. So anyway, I still, you know, I like the wine. Here's the thing. I'm using so much coffee to like get me through the day that I need the wine to bring me down. I'm like a juggy on my uppers and downers. But the wine I like these days for our fellow wine drinkers is a Barbera d'Alba. It is my favorite red wine lately. Mm. So good. So much more interesting than a Pinot and not quite as heavy as a Cab.
Okay.
Anyway,
all right.
That's
well,
my answer to my own question.
When I used to drink wine, I got all my recommendations from you. So listeners, Liz knows what she's talking about.
Sometimes.
Well, at least with this. Okay. So can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Okay. On this question generator, this is what they want to know. Have you ever been to the emergency room and what for?
Yes. Okay. Here's the last time I went to the emergency room. This is a good story. Oh my gosh, I forgot about this. And now I'm having PTSD.
Ooh, okay.
Anyway.
All right.
So I was walking down Park Avenue South in the Gramercy area in Manhattan. My kids were little, so probably like 8 or 9 years ago. And it was February and there had been a big snowstorm and the snow was starting to melt. It was like a warmer day. And as I walked past this church on Park Avenue South with like a big sloped kind of rooftop, a giant ice ball rolled off the roof and smacked me in the head.
What?
You don't know the story?
No.
This was insane. People ran from the other side of the street. They were like, are you okay?
Oh my gosh.
I had a concussion. It was horrible. People were like, I can't believe you're still standing. It was the size of my head.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
I'm like, I don't know what's happening. It was super disorienting and awful. And then I was hysterical and I ran to my mom's apartment, which is around the corner. And I called the police because I didn't know what else to do. I'm like, I don't know what happened. Some ice hit me on the head. They took me to the emergency room. And of course, at the time I went to this like awful Brooklyn hospital where I had to wait forever to get an MRI to find out I had a minor concussion. And there's nothing really you can do about that besides not play ice hockey for a few weeks, I guess, which I don't do anyway. Anyway, I was fine, but it was scary. It was really scary. And that was, I think, my last real emergency room visit. How about you?
Knock on wood, right? Let's just both just do that right now.
It was scary. I like to this day, when I see like the drippy melted snow after a snowstorm coming off of a building, I jump.
Oh, sure.
It was really awful.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking up right now and I'm inside my closet.
If there's ice in your closet, you've got bigger issues.
Okay, so I'm trying to think of I've been many times with my children, but personally, I have to say the last time that I was in the ER for something would have been when I was in college.
Really?
And I had just like super bad cramps. Like I was just in a lot of pain. I don't know what was going on. And the RA was like, we're going to take you to the ER. So I went to the ER. And all I remember is that Everyone kept asking me if I had sex, right? Because they're like, this is an ectopic pregnancy. And I was still a virgin. And I'm like, I have never had sex.
You are the Virgin Mary.
Right.
Oh, the Virgin Kristen.
The Virgin Kristen. They're like, your mom's not here. My mom was there, like, we'll ask your mom to leave. I'm like, no, literally have never had sex.
I'm more interested in the idea that you had never had sex by college.
Well, I was only 16 when I was in college.
That's true.
Just
that is true.
Reminder.
That is true.
So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it or something.
Wow. God, yes. It's definitely been since then.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my random question at conversationstarters.com, which is not a sponsor.
It's yes. Just like hashtag not sponsored.
It's like the first thing that came up on Google. Okay, Kristen, what kind of music do you like to listen to?
Ugh, man, come on. Those questions are so hard because, first of all, I was a music therapist and a music professor. Like, that was my whole entire life.
I know,
life
I expect
music.
A good answer from you.
Ugh, I have terrible taste in music, Liz. Even worse than yours.
Wait, you still like Neil Diamond, though, for karaoke, right,
well,
Sweet Caroline?
Listen, just because I pick a song for karaoke.
We've had like a 10-year debate about
that, you by the way. Music Luddites don't understand. There are certain songs and pieces of music that are good for certain things. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily a fan of them.
Okay, wait, but do you do the bump, bump, bums?
Yes.
Because that's a problem. When you sing Sweet Caroline, do you do bump, bump, bump?
The audience
or do
does.
Do that?
That's what the audience participation is important.
Ooh.
When you don't feel confident singing.
I'm going to name drop Caitlin Carlson, who's my friend who's in the show Be More Chill
yes,
on Broadway.
Yes.
And she and I totally bonded over not doing the bump, bump, bumps. It's very important.
Well, no, I don't personally do them. The singer should not do them. That is like what the annoying audience does. But let me just say, my favorite kind of music... You ready?
Yeah.
Late 80s and early 90s hip hop.
All right.
Is the best.
I'm down with that.
It's the best. It's the best.
Is there like one particular band or like
one
group or one?
All the terrible ones, Liz. Like Real McCoy, you know. Give me some Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Like, you know. That kind of
stuff.
That
is pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Beastie Boys. I'll redeem myself with a little Beastie Boys there. But yeah, like that kind of stuff.
Okay. That's not so
bad. I'm in it. What about you?
So I have this like long depressing story. I read about this on Mom 101 way back when, that when I was with my ex, that he just was like, your music sucks, everything's terrible, and I only want to listen to like mopey white men who have lots of problems. And so all he listened to was like Modest Mouse and Pavement, and he like stole the joy of music from me for a long time. And so my music stunted basically after I had kids. For me, you know, there is some new music. I honestly, I've had Thank You Next stuck in my head for the last 3 days for some reason. But I actually really like a variety of music because of my kids. We're listening to musical theater all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah.
It's on all the time in our house.
Yep.
But when it's just me, like if I'm in the car, it's definitely 80s new wave on Sirius XM. I love that station.
Yes.
So
yes.
Yeah, I like cheesy 80s music or not so cheesy 80s music. But I also really love old R&B. Like love, love, love. We took a little grown-up trip this weekend, Kristen, to Austin, Texas.
Fabulous.
We haven't had a grown-up vacation, no kids, no work for years. And it had this like huge, awesome tub. And I was like, I am taking a bath. And they had like a little Jambox speaker and I hooked
Ooh.
It up and I went on Pandora and I turned on the Bill Withers station. And that to me was like the perfect 1 hour in the tub. Bill Withers station was awesome. You know, they played like old Stevie Wonder and old Al Jarreau and stuff like that. So I've always had a thing for old R&B.
I love that. We're just surprising our listeners, I'm sure. They're so surprised about our fabulous taste.
Oh, yeah.
Music.
I can give you like a whole diatribe about why Ray Charles' Crying Time is underrated compared with Georgia.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look
I'm
at you.
Down with funky old music.
All right. Well, here's my question that was generated by this random question generator. What is your favorite condiment?
My favorite condiment.
Yes.
Wow.
I know, right?
I like condiments. You know, we're like foodies, so that means we have no food in our refrigerator and only condiments.
Yep. Yes.
So if I needed just one condiment, I would say mustard. I mean, like fancy, funky mustards.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite. I could put it on almost anything. But
yeah.
As like a dark horse, I really like Indian chutneys.
Oh, look at you.
And,
I have to say.
I like that a lot. And I love horseradish, actually.
What do you put it on?
Like anything. If there's like a horseradish on something or as part of a like a steak dish or something, I will always order that dish.
Wow. I had no idea.
But I'd say in general... funky mustards.
Okay.
How about you? What's your favorite condiment?
Gosh, this is such a hard one too. You know, the Asian in me wants to say soy sauce.
Soy sauce is good.
But it's good.
And also, you've got like a foodie husband. So
I do have a foodie husband.
He must like influence the condiments.
Yeah, he's in charge of all the condiments. Yeah, I actually put soy sauce even on salads. I use it as salad dressing. Mm. But I would say my backup would be like a good Dijon mustard. Like
I
could scoop it out with a spoon. I love the taste of it.
I cannot eat like that French stuff. Sorry, I know they'll never be sponsors, but here's the thing. When we grew up, my mom called it Goyam mustard.
Oh, that's
like,
funny.
We were not allowed to have yellow mustard.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. We only ever had Dijon mustard growing up, and I like it. I like it with like a cheddar cheese and like some crackers. I like Dijon. I like the taste of that. So anyway, all right, what question came up for you?
Oh, this is a good one, especially for parents.
Okay.
And by the way, to our listeners,
yes,
you know, it's not just me and Kristen here. You're here too. And if you guys have questions
yes,
for us like these, hit us up anytime at spawned@coolmompics.com. We have a brand new Spawned community private Facebook group. So you can find us through the Cool Mom Picks Facebook page and like ask us any questions at all. We'll be happy to answer
them.
Yeah,
actually, we might even do some of these in that Facebook group. So
ooh,
if you like
Spawned,
join us and invite your friends. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about all the stuff we talk about here and anything else that anyone wants to
yeah,
talk about.
Yeah, you don't even have to listen to the podcast.
No.
It, you know, it helps. It helps.
All right. So what's your question?
Okay, so here's a question. What is the best part of your day?
Oh, that is a nice question.
I know. It's no condiments, but, you know, I think it's kind of nice.
Okay, so do I have to be, like, kosher?
You could do whatever you want.
Talk about how, like, when I see my children in the morning.
I know my mom would say the moment she takes off her bra.
No, not that. Like, the nicest time for me is when my last child, and I have many, so my last child, who I still tuck in, all three of my younger children, are in bed, and the house is quiet, and I sit down on the couch, usually with my husband, and we're like, what do you want to watch? That's like the best part of my day without children. With children, the best part of my day is when I drop them off at school. No, I'm kidding.
It's okay. A little wine, a little honesty.
No. I don't know.
But you know what? It's okay. It's okay to say that, like, you know, you parent all day and you love it. And that at the end of the day, that's like a really cathartic, relaxing thing. Don't feel guilty.
No. I don't feel guilty. I'm just saying, like, that definitely is the,
you're like, I don't
the
care.
Best part
Screw
of
my
day. I will also say that when it comes to my children, we have a very extensive and, like, ritualistic bedtime routine, even though my children are tweens and, you know, 8 is my youngest now. So I love those little moments where we do our, like, hug and we, you didn't give me a kiss. You didn't hug me this way. Like my son still wants me to lay down with him for a little while, which is amazing. So I like those things. But honestly, chilling on the couch at like 10 o'clock at night is my favorite. What about you?
Ah, this is hard for me also. You know, this is like a stupid little thing, but I love every night Sage still comes in and asks me to brush out her hair and braid it for her.
Oh, that's so nice.
And it kind of drives me crazy having to brush it because I'd like to cut about 14 inches off.
Yeah, it's getting like so long. Oh,
no,
my gosh.
It's like getting ridiculous. She's starting to look like one of those crazy people with the hair down to her butt. But she's had dreadlocks like on the underside of her hair since she was a baby. She's got this one spot that just dreads like every day. And so while that makes me crazy, I kind of love that little time with her. And then I braid her hair and she's like, braid it tight, make it tight. And like, there's just like this little, I don't know,
that's
exchange
so sweet
that we have that's become a routine. And I like that moment. I don't know how much more I'll get of them. Because she's 11.
Yeah.
And one day she'll be like, ew, don't touch my hair. Or she'll cut it all off. Like,
that's,
Thalia. I don't know.
That. So those are the little things, right? Those are the little
I
things.
Know. It makes me feel wanted.
Yes.
Like as a parent of a preteen.
Yes, exactly. Those moments are few and far between.
Yes,
so.
I like
okay,
that.
Okay. I have a good one. This is a good one.
Okay.
You're going to not be able to say one thing for this. Let's just put it that
uh-oh
way. What is your biggest pet peeve?
People who spell your, Y-O-U-R-E, like your, Y-O-U-R. That's probably my, like, I'd say grammar peeves in general make me crazy. And I have many peeves, as you know.
Oh, well, that's why I said you're not going to be able to say
like,
just one.
People who don't hold the door open for you, that makes me insane.
Yes.
You know, like when you're walking through a door and then they smack you in the face. Because I've always taught my children, hold the door open and you always must look behind you to see if there's anyone behind you. So that makes me crazy. People who like hit the elevator close button as you're coming in. So I guess like rude things in general, but as far as like peeves, like stupid you know, silly things that make me crazy. The misspelling of your and your or there, there, and there, especially like on Twitter, it makes me insane.
Yeah, I hear that.
Get a thesaurus! It's like, not that hard. So I know that sounds really trite and stupid and kind
of like pedantic. Well, it's a pet peeve, so it's like, what, you know, you're not going to say like hungry children. That's not a pet peeve.
But it's like a big one, really. People that don't hold a door, it makes me crazy. I feel like it's just so rude and it's such an easy thing to rectify.
Yes.
But the idea of literally slamming a door in someone's face is so wrong.
That is
like literal,
is
in a
wrong.
Literal
that's
way, right? Wrong. Like we use it as a metaphor. That's how bad it is. How about yours?
Oh, gosh. There's so many. Well, you know, I drive a lot. And I think one of them is like when people won't let you merge. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah. We call it the douchebag move.
Right. I get it. Like, it's annoying. And here's the thing, right?
No, you know, it's only fair. You do the zipper, right? Left,
the
right,
zipper.
Left. And anybody who doesn't let you do that is so, they're messing up the traffic pattern.
Thank you. There is proof that the zipper is the best way to merge.
It's true. It's physics.
Wait, it is
for
physics.
Real. I've read studies about
people are not being dicks when they do that. They are doing the zipper. The zipper works.
There goes our mature rating
right
there.
Well, yeah, we already lost it. We just let me in. Like, where do you think I'm going to go? Like, that's the other thing. It's not like I was trying to, like, cut in front of you. Like, I'm just trying to get on the road. Like, that's all I'm trying to do.
And I'm always like, good job. You got to the red light 1 second ahead of me.
That's the other thing, right? Like, you win. It's a race, but it's not. Like, anyway. So that would probably be, I mean, I'm with you on the grammar and that kind of thing. But I guess that would be a big one. And just if I can have a second one, it's people who are not nice to servers and waiters and wait staff.
I agree.
That just makes me crazy. So anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, can I add one more? This is like a very New York-y one.
Yes.
Super pet peeve. And I think I inherited this from my dad, who is like Mr. Pet Peeve. He has so many. We could do a whole show about it. But when I get into a taxi, when they put down the meter before you've even gotten into the cab... First of all, not legal.
Yes.
Second of all, it makes me crazy. I know they're just trying to squeak like one more meter click out of it. And I get it. Like, I'm a really big cab tipper. So, but like, don't mess with me.
Yeah,
like,
that's not
do
cool.
not, before I'm even in the cab, if you put the thing down and we're still getting our stuff in the car, that is a huge pet peeve. Very New York.
Very New York. That was a very New York centric pet peeve. Okay. Yeah. What do you
okay,
got for
so
me?
Here's one for you.
Okay.
What kind of old person, Kristen, do you want to grow up to become?
That's so lovely. I love that kind of question.
I know. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
ConversationStarters.com. Bringing in some good sentimental ones here.
So I've always had empathy for older adults and senior citizens. I actually worked in a nursing home during college.
I love that.
And as a music therapist, I worked with older adults. And also, as I get older, I see more of how aging... I don't know how aging affects you and how it must be for them. You know, like they probably still see themselves as like 20 or 30 somethings, right? Like it's just, it's got to be so weird. Your body's not doing what you want it to do, but your brain can.
I know. I still think I'm like 24
Me
until
too.
I see a 24-year-old. And then I'm like, damn it.
I know. Well, yeah, because then you walk somewhere and you hurt your like hip somehow. Like just taking a walk down steps to go check your mail.
Like I reach for something and I'm like, I pulled something.
I know. I know. I'm like, oh, what is high 40?
So what do you want to become?
So I just want to be someone who is kind, but I also want to be very like, no, I'm not going to take any shit. And I'm going to be very to the point and you're not going to mess with me. And I'm going to be like hot stuff, man. I'm going to be hot stuff. Don't tell me what to wear. Don't tell me how to do my hair. Apparently, I'm going to rap. Or maybe I won't rap.
Well, you do like the early 90s rap.
But
so, you know.
I just want to be a very youthful, like whatever that is. That doesn't mean I'm going to like get plastic surgery on my face. Like more power to you if that's your thing. But I feel like I'm going to be youthful and active. And if I have grandchildren, I will be all up in that. I will be helping my children out because I feel so strongly about helping my own children be good parents. So anyway.
That's nice.
That was a long way to say nice.
No, that's a beautiful answer. I think that's something good to think about. We value youth so much and there's something cool about reflecting forward.
Totally. Yeah.
Can you reflect forward?
Yeah.
Projecting forward and thinking about what we want to become.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think about this a lot. Whenever I pass like the old hip, totally together, full lipstick, jewelry, awesome outfit, old ladies in New York City on the street, I'm like, I want to be her.
Yes.
Like the Carrie Donovan or Iris Apfel or like that kind of woman. Like, that's who I want to be. Like the woman with like the cool, crazy glasses.
Yes.
And like purple streaks in my hair, who just like does not give a shit about what anybody thinks about her.
Yes.
And does her thing. That's who I always say I want to be.
I
and
love
obviously
it.
A caring grandmother.
And, you know, you'll be a kind, cool,
giving
a cool
philanthropist, benefactor of the arts,
yes.
and
yes.
you know, very wealthy and kind and giving person. But also amazing clothes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I just sometimes you see these women. There's a woman in my building actually. She just turned 90.
What?
I know.
That's
she's like
amazing.
She always looks great. She's like out and about my building. Like the women on the floor who are, by the way, range from like their 20s to like 90 would get together once a month and just like have dinner together. And I had dinner with her once and she was like the coolest person. And I thought, God, I've lived next to her for years and I never even knew that.
I love that.
So I like that. I want to be like the out and about New York City lady.
Okay. Well, now you're going to have to spill some tea, Liz Gumbiner, because
uh-oh.
My question gets a little down and dirty.
Uh-oh.
What's one of your worst habits?
I have so many. Okay, the real answer.
Yeah, okay.
But this isn't what you're going to want.
Okay.
Is that I'm really hard on myself.
Seriously? That's what people say at a job interview.
No.
For no, weakness.
Here, I'm going to get, there's a whole backstory to this.
Okay.
So when I first went into therapy, when I was in my 20s, she said to me, just like you're saying right now, so what are the things that you're here for? What are you doing wrong? And I was like, this and this and this and this and this other thing and this other thing and these other things and these 18 things and these things and I want to fix these things and I don't do this right and I don't do this well. And she said to me, you know, I think you have another problem. And I was like, oh, one more.
Add it on.
And she said, you're too hard on yourself. And
ooh.
I was like, what?
Ooh.
And she said, you're just human. Like, those are human things. And I was like, what? And I burst out in tears and I was like, okay, I found the right therapist.
Aww.
And so I realized, like, I was beating myself up for doing things that are, you know, oh, no, I'm imperfect, right?
Right.
So that's, like, my new default answer because
okay.
I was always hard on myself. But if I do have one
yes.
bad habit,
yes.
You know, one thing I'm working on right now, I don't know if this is my worst habit, but one thing I'm working on is trying to just listen to my kids without trying to solve their problems.
Oh, that's good.
Like sometimes I'm very yes. quick to jump in and be like, yeah. oh, well, here's what you have to do when I'm realizing they just need to talk.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess thinking through the problem and trying to answer without like really hearing first, like I would say that would be something I'm working on.
I'm laughing because mine are gross.
Oh, you're like, I pick my nose and eat it.
No, it's not going to be that. Okay. So, like, I'm just trying to think of what my husband would say because he's the nicest person ever and would never complain. He would never say anything. So the one thing that I don't know why it's so hard for me, but I wear daily contacts, okay? So, like, you have to take them out at the end of the night. Like, they're not good for, like, you should not put them down the sink. You should not put them in the toilet. You should throw them away.
Uh-huh.
So for whatever reason, I take them out and I just put them on my nightstand.
Meanwhile, John is like the best contact remover ever. Like every night he goes, I got to take my eyes out. And it's like, I'm usually asleep by the time he gets back. It's like a half hour routine. I don't even know what he does.
Well,
he
has hard contacts, I think. I have soft ones. So like they're done. Like I take them out, but like I'm totally spilling it. I have this like old candle.
Oh my God.
I can't even believe I'm telling you this right now. And I put them in the old candle.
In the candle?
Yeah, because I don't use it anymore. It's like this tin can with a candle that I can't even light anymore. And it's got dog fur
in
it.
So it's become the contact lens depository on your nightstand.
Yes. So that's my worst habit. My other bad habit, which is not as gross or weird, I guess, or just lazy. Like, it's so funny. Like, I'm not even a lazy person at all. But that's the one thing I cannot seem to, like, throw them away. Like, I do sometimes. But, like, I think it's probably because I'm in bed when I decide to take them out. Anyway, I don't refill the ice cube trays.
Oh, that's like the husband pet peeve bad habit, right?
Well, I just know it's a bad habit, right? Like, I just know it's terrible. Like, I use the ice and then I leave it on the counter instead of just refilling it and putting it back. It's just terrible.
Yeah, I would hate that That makes me crazy. I'm like not a housekeeper, but I always used to refill the ice cube tray when we had them. Now we have the little fancy like in the refrigerator thing, so I don't have to worry about
see,
that.
See, okay, so now I feel bad because even you don't do that.
Well, I don't need to anymore, but I always did because it's like also when the kids put back the cereal, when it's empty in the pantry makes me insane.
Yes. All right. One more for each of us. What do you
got? Okay, so this is kind of a participation question. Pull out your phone, Kristen.
Oh, no.
Because my question is, what is the last picture you took on your phone?
Oh, okay. Let's see.
Not a screenshot, because I have 8 million screenshots.
Yeah.
And not a, Instagram story thing that downloaded, but just a picture that you took. What is it?
Okay, hold on. Give me a second. I got to look here. Okay, so the last picture I took.
Keep it clean.
Oh, please. I wish. Okay. The last photo I took was of my daughter, Bridget, at my other daughter, Margot's field hockey tournament, where she had figured out, I had put this on Cool Mom Eats on our Instagram account. She took the chip clip on her goldfish crackers and used it to hang her little bag up on like the little fence.
I saw that. That was really
clever.
So
that she could eat them hands free. Yeah. So that is the last photo I took. I thought that was very clever of her.
That's what my kids would call a life hack.
Yes.
Like those life hack videos they watch. Yeah, that was really good. I like that.
What's on your phone? What do you got?
Mine is an uncharacteristically beautiful photo, believe it or not. Ooh. Usually I have like goofy pictures of like funny signs with misspellings or like weird people on the subway. No, it was like just a really pretty picture this afternoon from Amtrak coming back home from Boston to New York.
That's nice.
Just over like a little kind of stretch of water in Bridgeport, Connecticut with the train tracks in the foreground and the water in the background. It was pretty. And so I took a picture.
Oh, well, that's lovely. I like that.
Yeah, not that interesting. Although the next photo on my roll is the screenshot of the cover of Rolling Stone with the women shaping the future with Nancy Pelosi and the women of Congress.
I didn't
take that picture, but that would be my screenshot.
Okay, that's cool. I dig that. Okay, last question. This is a good one to end on, I think.
Okay.
What is your favorite children's book or book you read in your childhood?
Oh, like the book that I loved?
Yes, your own.
Oh, without a doubt, Ozma of Oz from the L. Frank Baum Oz series.
I knew you were going to pick that. I had a
100%.
Feeling.
I loved that series so much. Yeah. I had all the like original gorgeous, well, not original. It was first done in like the teens and 20s of the previous century. But I had like the beautiful copies of them. And Ozma of all of them was the one that captured my imagination. And when my kids were like 4 or 5, I could not wait to read it to them. And actually, Thalia and I just had this conversation the other day that was her favorite book too. Like, cause she loved that we read it together and that she used to have dreams about parts of it and the Gnome King and he turned the royal family into like ornaments. And she used to think it was so cool, the idea of people becoming ornaments. And like, it's very imaginative. It has a really strong female hero. It's got magic in it. It was like, before Harry Potter, there was Ozma. And for people that don't really know The Wizard of Oz beyond, Judy Garland in the movie, it's a wonderful series.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite, and it still is.
You turned us on to that one.
Yeah, love it. Just the whole series is great. I mean, some aren't as good as the others, but they're just so fantastical. His imagination was so brilliant.
Yeah.
And especially because, back then, there's like a lot of uncomfortable stuff. Like you read books from 100 years ago, and you're like, ooh, I didn't realize that was so racist, or that was so misogynistic. And you don't really feel it in those books. I'll have to do like a little research. Maybe there's something I'm missing, but they still hold up really well. I mean, some of her language is like jeepers or whatever. Like, you have to explain to your kids what some of the stuff means.
Yeah.
But it holds up really well in terms of just storytelling and good, strong female characters, which is really nice. And it was rare for back then.
For sure.
How about you?
Oh, easy. Phantom Tollbooth. Done. Yeah.
I love Phantom Tollbooth.
Yeah. I remember we read it in like 4th or 5th grade and I was just completely smitten with it. And actually, I would say maybe about 8 or 7 years ago, I got to meet Norton Juster, who wrote it.
You did?
Yes. And
that's
cool. I still have my original copy. It's like the cover is gone and he signed it for me.
Wow.
Yeah. He actually would only sign books that were purchased there or whatever. But he saw my copy and he was like, of course I'm to sign that. Yeah, it was amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I haven't read that since I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still remember this one part in it that really stayed with me, being the word nerd that I am, where
yep.
they asked the question, like, what is the largest number? And he drew, like, a giant number.
Yeah,
like,
yep.
the number one, but really big. And he was like, the question you really want is, what is the number of the highest possible magnitude?
Yes.
And that's what taught me about the precision of language, that specific paragraph in the Phantom Tollbooth. And I always loved it for that.
Yeah, it was so clever. He was actually an architect. That was how he was trained. So
really?
Yeah.
That's a great book. I didn't even know that that was your favorite. So
yeah,
I learned something
favorite.
New about you. And hey, I hope our listeners learn lots of new things about us that didn't bore you to death.
Hey, now you all know that I'm a gross person where I put my contacts in a candle. So yeah, don't be sending me lots of candles now.
You're like, you need a new candle and a contact lens disposal situation.
All right. It's time for
Cool Picks of the Week. Cool Picks of the Week.
And Liz, you get to go first.
Okay. So I would like to talk about a really amazing book that I just reviewed called What Does It Mean to Be American? It's a beautiful picture book for kids. And even though it's for younger kids, my older kids liked it too. It's by Raina DiOrio, who's a friend of ours and the publisher behind Little Pickle Press, and Ilad Yoren. And basically, she's a little on the left, he's a little on the right, he's ex-military, she's from the writer's world, and they put their heads together and wrote this beautiful picture book for kids about what it means to be American. I think it's important right now, and it's really special, and it talks about things like, you know, it doesn't mean you eat apple pie, it doesn't mean you like baseball or fireworks, and it really talks about kind of our values, our beliefs and believing that all people are equal or that everyone should have the opportunity to be happy or that we value creativity and imagination and invention, that we respect our national resources and parks, that we balance pride in our accomplishments with the humility about what we still have to learn. And I thought the fact that it was two people from different political backgrounds that put their heads together to come up with this, it made it extra special.
Mm.
And the illustrations are amazing. They're from Nina Mata, who illustrated that Lori Hernandez book that we love called She's Got This, that
yes.
came out late last year
yes.
about gymnastics. Anyway, so it's called What Does It Mean to Be American? You can pre-order it now on Amazon. You can see our full review on coolmompics.com. And it's a lovely book. And especially for this time, I think it'll encourage really good conversations with kids. And I love books that get you talking with your kids.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
How about you? What's your cool pick of the week?
So I have a new Instagram account that I think everyone should follow. And it's from someone we've already mentioned on the show probably more than a few times, artist Emily McDowell.
Yeah.
Who has a line of everything from grocery totes to cards to pins. She always just seems to know exactly the way to say something that's really hard to say. You know, she expresses feelings and emotions. So she's got a new Instagram account that's called Emily on Life.
Oh, it's good.
It's good. I don't know. Just it's kind of like a self-help, self-love feed. So if you need a boost, if you're feeling down or you just want something every day that'll kind of pick you up and make you think a little differently about the world and your life than you might have a few seconds before, it's a great follow. So it's just go to Instagram.
She does like hand lettering.
Yeah,
and so
yeah,
everything
yeah.
looks really beautiful. It's kind of like made for Instagram quotes.
It
but
is.
She's
yeah.
also very funny and snarky. So
yes.
it's nice. Nice. That's a great pick.
Yeah. So if you're on Instagram all the time, at least like we are, it's nice to have those kinds of funny, inspirational, motivational, snarky sayings pop up in between everyone's photos of their perfect cakes. And
I think that's great. Oh, and P.S. by the way, and this comes from Emily McDowell's own mouth as well as ours.
Oh.
If you're going to share stuff like this, these beautiful
oh,
quotes
yes.
from her, do not cut her name off. Do not cut off at Emily on Life. That
no.
is not okay. Okay, and
nope.
that is not cool. The same way, if we share a cool meme that says Cool Mom Pics on the bottom, do not cut Cool Mom Pics off the bottom. That is not okay. And this is for any of my children's friends who may be listening who think that memes are public domain. They're not. So anyway, Emily's the kind of person who has stuff stolen a lot. So
yeah.
just saying, share and give credit.
Yes, share and give credit. Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks
well,
for joining
fun.
Us. I know, for another episode of Spawned. Huge thanks to our engineer, John Bowen. Of course, we love hearing from you. If you want to tell us your answers to the questions or you have questions that you would like to have us answer, you can get those to us in a few ways. You can email us, spawned@coolmompics.com. You can hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We are there. It's all at Cool Mom Pics. drop us a line. We would love to hear from you. We're also, we will link up a couple of the things that we talked about on the show over on our podcast page at coolmompics.com. And
Liz. Big news, woo! Like we mentioned before, we now have a Spawned podcast community on Facebook. You can find it from the link on our podcast page. You can find it through Cool Mom Picks, or you can just search Spawned Podcast on Facebook and it'll come right up. And we'd love to have you join us and chat about whatever we're talking about this week, anything at all that's on your mind, any topics you want to cover. It's actually, we just started it. It's brand new. I haven't even chimed in there yet. It's so new. But people are already like making friends with each other and answering each other's questions. And it's like a really nice place.
I know. I was asking about like date night ideas and I have this like eye twitch. I'm just a mess. And I'm going to hit the people up at Spawned and see what they have to say. So head over there. The other thing is I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately, Liz, like a ton.
I know.
And people are really good about getting listeners to leave reviews. Like, I don't know if we're that good at it. I think we need to up our game.
Okay. Do we need to offer like prizes?
No. I mean, prizes would be nice.
Or we just need to beg.
We don't have to beg. There's no begging. So here's what people do. Like, they kind of say, this is how they say it. And so then maybe we, if we say it like other people. So what they say is they go, if you really love, insert name of podcast here,
Spawned with Kristen and Liz.
Yes. There are a few ways that you can help support what we're doing. Do you see how that works?
That's true.
Like, so it's like you're helping us out. And then they'll say, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast and save or download our episodes. And make sure you tell all your friends about how much you love Spawned.
I love that.
Yes. So thank you for listening to Spawned. This is Kristen.
And this is Liz. Have a great day.
Bye.